I want to welcome you all back to the Wiser and Wilder Fire Circle. This is day six of our six parts of our gathering, where we're gathered together around the fire as amazing visionary women. And I want to start out just introducing my two circle leader guests, special visionary women who are with me today. And maybe you could just both say hi. Sonia Miller. Sonia, are you there?
I am here. It's great to be here. Hi, Kaya. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Sonia. I'm so glad you're here, too. And Nancy Swisher. Nancy, you could say hi.
Yes. Hi, Kaya. Hi, Sonia and everyone.
I'm thrilled to have both you, Sonia and Nancy, with me today. You're both really special people to me for different reasons, and I'll share more about that later. But it just gives me such a feeling of, being able to kind of sigh and feel supported when, you know, nothing about having women that are with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you all get that. I know a lot of you are not on the chat today, but those of you that are, do you know what that's like when you really feel like you've got your female friends with you and you're not holding the energy all by yourself? It just feels so good. So thank you both for being here.
No, it's a pleasure.
Yay. So we're going to start out with our usual little ritual at the very beginning of the call, which has become very special. And I want to, it's going to be a little different today because this is the sixth day and our last day of this particular version of the fire circle. Fire circle will go on, but in different forms and different places, right? I mean, in a way, the fire never goes out. We're always in circle with our support people and our women that are in our tribe. So for now, though, all of you that are here, whether you're on the chat or whether you're on the phone or the web and listening, hi, Rose. And whether you are listening on the recording later, you're all together right now in our circle. This is beautiful. I want you to just imagine yourself on a beach, at the same beach we've been on the last couple of days. Your beach, beautiful sand under your toes as you're sitting on a log around the fire in a big circle. And just seeing the sparkles of the flames in the center of the circle kind of as a focal point for energy. And it's beautiful looking at the sky, the dark sky, and the moon is getting larger as it moves toward getting fuller in the sky. And it's a little bit lighter than it was yesterday and even a little bit lighter than it was the day before. But we see the sparkly stars and we can hear the sound of the waves of the ocean and feel the sand under your toes. And just, you know, reaching out, you know, hold the hand of the person on your right and the hand of the person on your left and just close your eyes and feel the warmth of their skin and a feeling of that connection right now as you're holding hands. And just sending the energy around the circle out from your left, your right hand, just feeling the energy going around all the way and coming back in from your left hand. So it fills your whole body and spirit. And just feeling your feet on Mother Earth and the energy of the Mother Earth energy coming up your feet and through your body. It's that Mother Earth part that is the nurture, the care, and the roots, you know, of what you're planting in the world right now with your vision. It's beautiful, isn't it? So, you know, what we've done here in the last five circles and today, what we're doing this whole 2 weeks really is bringing the energy in for all of us, you know, thousands of women, thousands and thousands of women all over, because each of you has a whole community of other women that you're connected with, right? They may not be here as part of this event right now, but they're with you. And if you just keep your eyes closed and think about, even if you don't do it in thoughts, but just feeling and seeing the visions of women who you know, people that you would like to bring in today, that you're aware of, that you see them as part of your circle, and you want to invite them into your circle because your community is so important. And those of you in the chat, you can just put the names of the women in there that you'd like to bring in because it's beautiful. It's beautiful, really, to do that. And as you write somebody's name in the chat or you just say it out loud, and if you're in your house right now or in your office, you can pick up a pen and write down those names, right? Anybody that you want to just bring in. And it could be your sister or your mother or a work buddy. It might be your coach. It might be, you know, people who have supported you, women who you feel are in your tribe. Yay. So many people are writing names in right now. It's just beautiful. So, yeah, and I'm thinking of my sister, Rhoda, and one of my mastermind buddies, Sonia and Tay and Joanne. Yeah, and all the people in my group so many people who have helped me publish my book, starting, you know, with Lisa and then Deandra, my designer, and Sally, my editor, Phyllis and Tara and Jocelyn. Oh, my God, the list goes on, really. Joanne, again. Janica. I mean, I'm not even done. There are so many people who have helped me. And this is it. You can't build a community without so much support, right? And I love the names that are coming through. And I was going to say, those of you in the chat are writing in so many names right now. And those of you that are not in the chat, write them down on a piece of paper because it makes it more real. Or just say them or picture their faces, right? But we're all here together. We're all here together. It's beautiful. And most of you, how many, you know, if you're in the chat and this is your first time here today, if you've never been on one of these calls yet, you know, raise your hand and let me know if you're new, okay? And anybody else who is here on the call, whether you're listening now or on the recording, if this is your first time here, one of the things we've been doing is having people come forth with their wisdom word, a word that can be part of a collaborative painting that I'm doing. And it may be just a word that just comes to you when you close your eyes. And if you haven't given me your word yet, you can do that right now. The rest of you, I think I've gotten plenty of words from you, unless you've come up with something that you really feel is a new one that you need to give me. I think I have plenty. Oh, Sonia, I love that. Wings. Beautiful. Yay. But I want to make sure I have a chance for all the new people that haven't given me your words yet, because I'm going to start this painting tomorrow. This is what I want to tell you all. I'm very excited. I have the day pretty much cleared all afternoon tomorrow. I have some new canvas. I've just spent a lot of money on buying new paint, acrylic paint, just beautiful colors, and I'm going to begin the painting tomorrow. So one of the things I'm going to do is start to share the Facebook group we have. Even though these calls are done, the Facebook group's going to go on for a while, and I'm going to be sharing my painting as it grows on the group, just posting it in different stages. So be aware for that. And Audrey, you've written up exhilarated. I love that. That's a great word. I don't think anybody has given either of these two words, exhilarated or wings, yet. And I know there's some of you that aren't in the chat, so make sure you bring your word into the Facebook group page if you haven't already done that. Your words are really, really important and so much part of the process. And, you know, my painting that I'm going to do is really collaborative. I'm going to start out with all of your words. That's just going to go on the canvas first. Yeah, and your names are going to be written on the back of the canvas. So you're going to be really part of this painting in so many ways, okay? And, you know, the words are going to be embedded underneath the paint first, and then many of them are going to be on top, you know, written, painted right into the image as well. So I have no idea how it's going to go yet, because it's actually going to come through my own wild and wise woman when I start painting it, which is the way it works for me when I paint. I don't usually know what's going to happen until it happens. So I know a lot of you probably understand that. Yesterday, when we were in the circle here, I had each of you pick up a stone and encourage you to go home, out in your yard, out to a park, and find your own stone. And those of you that weren't here yesterday, I encourage you to listen to the recording so you can hear all the pieces of this. But what I want you to do is find a stone that feels good in your hands. It's so important because, you know, the stone that I picked, you'll love this. It was about a month ago that I was at the beach, and I just was, you know, beautiful stones all over the beach, and I picked up a whole basket of them, right? And I had this idea of coming back and writing words on them and doing some fun art thing with it. And instead they got left in a pile on my front porch because I got too busy. You love that word, busy, right? I hate it, actually, but it's what happened, right? So yesterday, after we did this beautiful visualization on the call, and I encouraged all of you to get your own stone, I went out at my front porch, and I found those stones, and I picked up every one until I found the one that was right for me. And then I tuned in, and the word that came to me to write on the stone is ease, E-A-S-E. Okay, and I'm going to try to write that. It's not a big word to write in the chat, so I'm just writing that in here. But that's the word that I wrote on my stone. And I've taken a photo of it with my iPhone, and I posted it on our Facebook page this morning right under Selena's post where it says, you know, put in your photos of your stone. So I'm asking everybody to not, you're going to find a stone, you're going to write your word on it, and the word has to do with your empowerment. It's that place where you want to remember the thing that helps you to be the most empowerment and the most aligned with your own truth when you hold that peace, you know. And just to share this little story before we go on to introduce the speakers and move into the stories, their stories, is that my story with this word ease is that doing these kind of events has always been really hard for me. This one has been so much easier, right? And, you know, anything I don't know how to do becomes difficult for me. I get, oh, my God, I don't know how to do it. And I think some of you were here yesterday. I shared with you about my old story about never trusting myself and feeling like I needed to fit in or do what I was supposed to do. And the stories yesterday were all about that from both of our speakers. It was beautiful. Both Michelle Grace and Caroline shared the same thing, you know, and many of you the same. So for me, the word ease is about just trusting. It means trusting myself. It means having things flow. And I can be so much more who I need to be and do my work in the world if it comes from this place of ease. Ease actually gives me empowerment. If any of you in the chat get that, let me know, because it is such a big deal for me that things can be really easy and fun and easy and joyful, and I can be hugely successful, right? I mean, success doesn't have to mean it's hard, right? It doesn't have to mean that you struggle. It doesn't have to mean that things are difficult. Oh, my gosh. So ease is my word, and I want to see what all of your words are, so get your stone, dig it out of your garden, right, or go to the park or whatever, and tune in and find your word and paint it. And you'll see mine after the call. You can go on the Facebook page and see the painting of my stone. It didn't take me long, but it's there. And I'm holding it right now as we're talking. And if this was a video, you'd see it. But I can't show it to you. Yeah, Mary says, ease eliminates so much of the busyness. It's about simplifying. Yes, God, doesn't that feel good? I mean, can you all breathe that in? It's beautiful. And I have a feeling that all of your words we're all going to relate to. I'm just sharing you mine right now, but I'm sure all of you will see everybody's stones. And what I'm going to do with all the photos of these stones is I'm going to do some kind of collage with them. I might add them to the painting. It might be its own piece of artwork. I'm not sure yet. But it's going to be really phenomenal. So we need all those by the end of the weekend. You got that? So you've got a few days to get your stone, paint your word on it, take a picture, and post it up on the Facebook group page under the top post that's pinned to the top. Yay. Gail says, paths of least resistance are valid as paths of struggle. Well, you know, they're more valid. Oh, my gosh, to me. You know, I'm done with struggling. Yay. How many are with me? I mean, no more struggling. That's it. Yay. I know you all get it. It's great. Okay, moving along. I am, like, wanting to introduce my two amazing people that are with me today, one at a time. And I'm going to repeat the question I've asked everybody for the last all of calls, right? And these are the, you know, both of these wonderful women are going to respond to this question in their own way. So, thinking back to when you first began in business, what was one challenge you had, and how are you able to access your own inner wisdom to help you through it? How was this like walking through the fire, and what did you learn from it? How was this like walking through the fire, and what did you learn from it? How does this make a difference now, many years later, and how do you still use that wisdom piece to keep you aligned and on track? So everybody's answered this in their own way, but the main thing is just to do it through telling a story, telling your story. And a little bit of it can go a long way. So, you know, 10, 15 minutes is great. And after you both do that, we'll probably have time to hear from you both again. So I'm just going to introduce you one at a time, and you can go for it. So, Sonia, you're first. Are you ready? Go. Are you ready? Hear your voice.
I'm ready. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes. Yay. Okay.
Yay.
Sonia Miller's bestseller, The Attraction Distraction, Why the Law of Attraction Isn't Working for You and How to Get Best Results Finally, reaches international audiences with translations now in 5 countries. It's amazing. She's got a story about that, but I don't know if it's the one she's going to tell today. But she harnesses 25 years as a speaker and coach to illuminate people's blind spots and expose their untapped power. And I know for a fact, only because Sonia and I are in a mastermind group together, that she would probably write this in a slightly different way today if she was going to give it to me again, or she would add something to it. So you're going to have a chance to do that, Sonia. But Sonia lives in Portland here, but I didn't meet her just because she lives in Portland. I met her because she came to an event that I was putting on, and I decided I wanted to be in a mastermind group, so I invited her, and she came, and we're still together like a year later or something. It's phenomenal. You know, there's 4 of us, so I feel very blessed. You know, Sonia's become a great friend as well as a support person for me. So, okay, the talking stick is yours, Sonia. Go for it.
Thank you, Kaya. Well, first of all, I am so grateful to you. And yes, we've in a short amount of time, the bond is incredible. And I would describe what I do a little differently, maybe a lot differently now. But I think it's so perfect to be here in this fire circle because what has happened to me, and Kaya has played a really big role in this, not just through the Wiser and Wilder, but just what you embody, Kaya, is I've come home to my own roots, which is that my business, Success for the Soul, was birthed out of being part of an international women's community for 10 years. And that's basically where I grew up, and it was through the reflections of other women and what they saw in me when I didn't believe in myself, when I didn't know what I had to offer, and they kept saying, Sonia, you have a gift. You need to do something with it. So it was the women in my life that they were like mirrors to me. And so to answer these, you know, kind of these 3 questions, one of the most defining moments was I left corporate America, and I finally, after this kind of convoluted journey, found my way to starting my own practice as what I called back then a personal success facilitator. I was part of this women's community, and I hung my shingle, and I was working out of my home, And I guess you could call it still being at the hobby level. And I had a woman who was one of my greatest fans and supporters, who was a successful businesswoman who wanted to open up a wellness center, say, Sonia, come rent some space for me. And the thought of actually paying money, like having business expenses and renting a space and seeing people like really going from hobby to business, terrified me. But she supported me. She believed in me. And she said, we'll do a sliding scale. So I did it. And the first, when you said in the question, you know, what's one challenge that I had, and how was I able to access my own inner wisdom? It had to do with setting my fees. And my nature from the beginning was always to undercharge and give away too much, and I would discount things, my rates all the time. And back then, my friend, her name's Kristen, a very powerful woman in my life, really encouraged me to raise my rates. I think I was charging like $45 an hour. So this is a long time ago, and then she said, you got to charge more, and she encouraged me to charge $75 an hour, and that was of course helped me begin to actually have a real business, and it just was so hard for me. So my inner wisdom, as I started to charge and work with people and start to see the transformation they were experiencing, my inner wisdom came from listening to when I felt resentful. And something I've really embraced and I teach other women is when you feel resentful, it's actually a gift because it tells you that you're out of alignment. Something isn't matching. And I always had a strong desire to give and serve and was able to put other people's needs in front of my own. But I realized that when I was resentful, it would actually infect the purity of the work that I did. So at first, I wasn't able to stand in my own value for me. I did it for my clients. I wouldn't let my resentment of undercharging affect what they were receiving. In the end, it really served me well because I was the vehicle for my work, and it helped me to really tune into that inner voice and learn to stand in my value and stand for the value of the work that I was doing. So with that, that was part of walking through the fire, was the discomfort of, you know, moving through resentment and standing in my value and not knowing how to do that. But the fire for me, where it really, like, you know, kind of purified me, had to do with really seeing how I devalue myself, or how I did devalue myself. And I got to see the legacy that I inherited from my mother. She devalued herself. And the real fire came for me when I had to confront this when my marriage ended very unexpectedly. I was married for 15 years. We were together for 18. And that was really my fire. I kind of had this inner mama bear that, it was kind of like, you know, you can leave me, but you can't mess with my kids. And I got very, very protective. And so I was in this uncharted territory where I was dealing with standing up for myself, trying to figure out what the right thing to do was, my value, standing for my kids, dealing with lawyers. And it was also at a very difficult time where there were businesses involved, other businesses. So I felt like I was dealing with all of these men. This masculine energy was my former husband, my business partner, and then like this band of six male lawyers. And then there was me. And I was having to stand in my value. And the thing that really, you know, without knowing what to do, I felt like I was being asked to fight. And I'm like, I'm not a fighter. I'm a peacemaker. I'm not a fighter. I'm a peacemaker. And what finally came to me, and this was so much my inner wisdom, it just really emerged as I just kept honoring and tuning into how I felt, was I don't fight for things. I stand for things. Standing in my value, standing for my kids, standing for what's right. And in the end, it helped me navigate one of the most challenging times of my life and kind of burst me. You know, I came out of that fire stronger and clearer about the power of standing for something. And that's something that I feel is uniquely part of an expression of feminine energy. So how this makes a difference for me now, many years later, this has allowed me to be very protective of the work that I do. One coach, another woman, taught me to really listen to the soul of my business, And I've had people over the years ask me to modify my offerings to suit them. And while I'm willing to be flexible and customize things so that it's really valuable, there's a place that I have very clear lines and boundaries about not compromising the work itself. And what this has done is it's allowed me to develop a reputation and a track record that has clients sending me referrals, and they stay with me for years. I mean, they really know what they're getting, they know it's consistent, and they know the value of it, and they send their friends. So learning to stand for my work and stand in my value has directly benefited and translated into a successful business in a feminine power sort of way. So that's my story. That's my fire walk.
Well, that is a beautiful, beautiful story. You know, and I wrote down a few things here that just stuck out in what you shared, Sonia. You said coming home to your roots, you know, the roots of your business. I thought that was beautiful. And just being aware when you were undercharging, and I know that is a huge issue for many women, you know, that undercharge, that feeling of devaluing their self, as you said, you know. And listening to when you felt resentful and knowing that meant you were out of alignment, that is really potent, you know, because I think when we listen like that and then we realize in a deeper sense what it means, being out of alignment. Yeah, and that power of standing for something, that's so important. Yeah, I love that. And I know that you love your work and you love helping people. So, beautiful story. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and you'll have a chance to come back with some more juicy stuff a little bit, but I wanted to just, you know, bring out those main parts. And those of you in the chat, how many of you really related to what Sonia shared, you know? And I, the other thing I want to say is, because you mentioned the fire being, you know, when your marriage broke up, you know, and some people might think, well, what does that have to do, you know, with your business, right? And I always tell people, you know, our personal lives and what goes on with us is such a big part of what we do, right? And if we can't separate the two, right? Because what's going on with us personally, especially if you've got a business where it's your business and you're, you know, sort of like a solopreneur, you know, they overlap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the fact that you're willing to share that. Thank you.
My pleasure. And I'll just say briefly, you know, Kaya, I know a lot of what you teach is about circles. You know, you have, you know, a lot of circle metaphors. And
yeah.
And my experience, just like you said, is it's all connected. So, you know, we can't, you know, part of it for women is we can't compartmentalize our lives. And so, you know, devaluing ourselves in our business relates to our personal lives. It relates everywhere.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You just can't separate. Things are connected, you know, and I do write about that in my book about women are so holistically oriented. I'm not to say everybody isn't, you know, but with women we just, you know, the things connect with each other. So we can't just cut off one part of ourselves and ignore it, you know. And not only do we not ignore things, but they overlap. And you become empowered in one part of your life, then it helps you become empowered in the other parts. So, which is what you shared. It was beautiful. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to, Nancy, are you here? Are you ready?
I am.
Yay, okay. Nancy Swisher supports emerging and established women leaders to trust their spiritual guidance, transform the female pain body, and fully express their light in the world. She teaches workshops in both England and United States. She's been a spiritual counselor and mentor since 1995. She's also a painter and award-winning poet. Her memoir, The Life That Woke Me Up, was my own. The Life That Woke Me Up was my own. Sorry, I didn't say that right. Will be published in 2016. And I can't wait. I mean, you've told me a little bit about this book, and it's very exciting. I've also seen a lot of Nancy's paintings that she posts them on Facebook. And if you're Facebook friends with Nancy or you want to be, that's one good reason right there is you get to see her paintings, which are phenomenally beautiful and deep to me. So anyway, Nancy, I'm thrilled to have you here today. And by the way, I met Nancy online. And again, those of you that wonder if being online, being on Facebook is a waste of time, many of the women I've had here with me this week I've met through Facebook. And Nancy's one of them. You know, isn't that something, Nancy? I love it.
I know.
And we've been on the phone together and had conversations, and now you're here doing this. It's lovely. So anyway, I can't wait to hear what you're going to share today. The talking stick is yours, so go for it.
Okay. Thank you, Kaya. And I loved meeting you, and you invited me to be on your podcast, which was how we started our connection. So hello, everyone. Okay. Where to begin? So I'm still in the fire. In a way, and I'll explain what I mean, but so I started seeing clients in 1995 when my mentor said, "You're ready to see people," and I said, "No, I'm not, no, I'm not," and she said, "Yes, you are, yes, you are," and so I started, but I don't feel like I really started my business until 2006. So in other words, even though I had a business, I didn't think of it as a business for, I don't know, how long is that, 10 years? So the turning point for me was also partly divorce, partly moving away from Massachusetts to Iowa, for the purpose of writing and finishing my book. I also started thinking of my business as a business in 2006. And by that, I mean, I started studying the typical things, you know, marketing and all that stuff. So I had a huge resistance to that. Because my book, my literary memoir, it's a work of art. That was my main focus, but I had to keep the business going in order to support myself. And I'm not saying I don't love the business. I do. I love the work I do with women very much. But the fire for me since 2006 has been, and it's a good fire, okay? It's good. And the book is actually done and coming out in a few months, so I'm practically out of the fire. But the fire has been balancing the business along with the book, and because they're both big projects, right? And so my mind would say, oh, you need to do more marketing, you need to do more marketing. And so I would do that, but it would take me out of alignment with my guidance, my bliss. And so I would come back to center again. I would relax with my business and know that everything was fine and work on the book. So that's been the dance for me for quite a while. And as a painter, too, you know, I think one of the taglines I have is I'm a transformational coach with the soul of an artist. And so the art for me is a real important thing. And I believe, I know that when my book comes out this year, it's all going to come together. It's not going to be, I'm not going to feel that either or thing as much as I have in my life, because the book is a it's personal narrative, but it's about consciousness and transformation, and it's along, you know, it's about the work I do with women. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to look, but I was on Skype today with a friend in England, and we were connecting. She used to be a client. She said, I really want to help you promote your book. And I've been watching how Kaya is doing hers, you know, and starting to get ideas. And so the book has been, someone on the calls in the last week or so, one of the guests said, I think it was Susanna, said, you know, you need to really feel what your big, the big work is, or the big calling. And my book, this book, has been the big calling for me. So for me, and when I was 11 years old, I said, I'm never doing anything that doesn't have meaning to me. I'd rather be dead. And so, and so my whole life has really been, I've been aligned with that. And so I had to have my own business. It was the only way I could. You know, I had to. There was no way I could just have a job that didn't have meaning to me. So I've managed to, my business has supported me. But if I got hooked into, oh, I got to get the six figures, if I got into that mindset, I couldn't do that and stay true to my book. So, and the book took a while. And so I had to honor that too, right? So it's been, that's been the fire. So, you know, my message is to just, I mean, it's what Joseph Campbell said, you know, follow your bliss. I do believe that's true, and that when we take the time to drop into our own truth, like the deepest part of ourselves, right, and to believe in ourselves, that everything opens up. You don't need to worry. You don't need to, you know, get desperate to find what somebody else has to tell you, you know. And that's not to say we don't need support. Of course we do. But if the business is your biggest calling, that's wonderful. And for me, the book has been my biggest calling. But I believe this year they're coming together. So anyway,
what's made your biggest calling, son, Nancy? I'd love to hear that.
I just have always known it was. I mean, I'm a writer. I've been writing my whole life, and so the I knew that the life I had lived it in order to write the book.
Yeah.
So, you know. It was just a knowing, Kaya. There was that push in me to get the words out and to, but it took, you know, I did a whole MFA, you know, to support me to get the book done. So, but now it's kind of exciting because the book is done. So now it's like, oh my God, I feel like, yeah, I'll be selling books and promoting the book, but I also feel like there's this whole new thing opening up, and I'm not sure what it is.
Ah, I love that. Yeah, because your main calling has been to write this book, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now that it's written, it's you're kind of on the other side of that mountain and figuring out what is the next thing that's the big calling. And when you talked about somehow the two things are going to come together,
yeah.
Can you maybe share a little bit more about that for the people that are listening? Because I think that's something a lot of people, a lot of women struggle with. You know, we're artists, but we also want to work with people and, you know, all that. So,
yeah. Well, for one thing, I think I'll be teaching writing, which I started teaching as a young graduate student a long, long time ago. But I'm not sure exactly, other than I'm going to have the book, just like you have your book.
Yeah.
And I love your book. There's a way that I don't know exactly what's going to change. My brand might change slightly. And I don't want to imply that the business isn't important. I hope I haven't. But because, you know, it has been. It just hasn't, I haven't been able to put my everything into it.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how it's all going to come together. I mean, where it has to come together is within us.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I really get what you're saying, too, because I absolutely love my business, too. I love the clients I work with.
Yeah.
You know, when Sonia, you were sharing about just her commitment and the fact that she loves her work, I feel very, very similar. And and at the same time, I know I have to do artwork, you know, and I have to, there's so many other things that are important to me, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Sonia just wrote on here, it's about balancing. And
it is.
And for a lot of us. Right?
Yeah, balance was the word I thought of today.
What was the word? Balance.
Balance. Well, yeah, that was great.
It's really true.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with the Mother Peace Tarot, I don't know if some of you might be. But
yes.
The two of discs has a woman holding two babies, right? One in each arm. That's been my life for the last 9.5 years.
Yeah, I love that. I love that tarot deck, by the way.
Yes.
For those of you, that was the tarot deck that, I don't know, it came out when I was maybe 30 or something, or maybe, I don't know. But it's been around for a long time. They're round tarot cards, those of you that haven't seen it. They're beautiful. I still own that tarot deck, Mother Peace Tarot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, I love that, the two discs, you know, and I probably, you know, I relate to that right now. You know, when people say, well, what do you want to do moving forward? Yeah, put my book out there because I feel so strongly about it and keep working with women because I love doing that and do my artwork. So
yeah.
I probably have three things I'm balancing. So
right.
It's good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It was beautiful.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd love to, Sonia, are you still on the line? I'd love to bring you back and ask you another question.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Thank you. Because we're talking about books, it seems like, you know, Nancy spoke about hers and you have a book that is a bestseller. You didn't mention that in your story. But I feel like I'd love to see if you wouldn't mind sharing just a teeny bit, just a minute or two about, you know, why you wrote this book and how it became a bestseller. Do you mind?
Yes, well, very much like, both of you, it was in me since I was 12. Like, I actually had visions. I knew I was going to write a book, but I didn't know what I was going to write till my 30s. And after I left the brokerage industry to resuscitate my dying, my withering feminine soul, I started to explore my feminine side and spirituality. And basically, I was driven by understanding how we create our realities. Like, I knew I had power inside and I didn't know how to bring it out. So I studied for decades with every possible teacher resource. And basically, I wrote the book that I wished I had on my journey. I found so many information gaps. It was so much about, you know, techniques like visualization, affirmations, and sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't with manifestation and the law of attraction. But it wasn't until I personally went really, really, really deep and uncovered answers that just were not available in the mainstream and started piecing together things and had consistent success with manifestation that I was like, oh, this is the book I wished I'd had. So for me, it was very passion and purpose driven. Like, I had to write that book. And so I didn't know what I was doing, but just, you know, kind of traveled where my inspiration guided me. And I really felt like I was divinely guided for that book to be self-published and become a bestseller. And then to have people, you know, these publishers from other countries approach me out of the blue. I knew that there was something bigger at work, just kind of working through me. So that's what moved me.
That's very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, and, you know, what you said, it's the book you wish you would have had, you know, and that's exactly how I feel about my book, you know, honestly. And I've written about that in the introduction to my book. Those of you that have ordered it already, you'll get that. But it's exactly true, you know. I mean, I think I wrote this because I couldn't find, I wish I would have had this book, you know, many years ago. The book that I wrote. It's funny.
Right.
We do that. Oh, God, it's great. But, you know, there's something really, a feeling of completion about doing that, too. And there is that freedom of thinking, well, what's next, you know? And I kind of feel that right now. And I know, just sharing with all of you on the phone here, is that, you know, one of the things that I love doing is women's retreats. You know, I mean, that's where my whole spirit has come alive, being in women's gatherings and being around the fire circle with women. And I feel like the last number of years, while I've started getting my business going, trying to be focused on that, I've put that aside somewhat. And it's like, okay, time to bring it back, you know? And I'm really excited about that. It's like, and it's become, you know, when something, I'll say this to all of you because I know you all get it. When something is the right time and it's aligned, things just work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I spent a little bit of time looking for the right place to have a retreat at for next October, and it's just like the sky opened with all these possibilities of amazing places. So, and I think until now, they weren't there, or I didn't see them. Who knows, you know, but it's just, it's really cool, though. And so those of you that have already ordered my book, I just want to give you a huge thank you. If you haven't yet and you're listening to this, you go to wiserandwilder.com. It's available now before publication. You'll get a signed copy from me, a really cool bookmark that I've just finished making, a little poster, other little fun bonuses, and plus an ebook called Wild Wisdom, which both Nancy and Sonia have their little bit in as well as all the other speakers, right? And that ebook, right now, you will get it instantly as soon as you order my book. And if any of you on the chat have already ordered the book and have gotten that ebook, you can make some comments about it, because it's, you'll get that immediately. So I encourage you to do that. I'm going to read a little thing from my book, because I've been doing that on every call. I just pick something at random, you know, that I'm going to read, and I never know what it's going to be until I do it. So basically this chapter, the chapter I'm reading it from, is called Soulful Community, Chapter 5. So I'm just going to read a little bit. The Power of More Than One, it's called. Many passionate and creative ideas begin in the middle of the night. You're woken with an inspiration that shows you a path to quitting your dead-end job and providing a way to earn money while doing what you love. So you share your ideas with friends or relatives. You get mixed responses and advice, but in the end, it must be your decision to move forward and begin the path of building a business from your soulful dream. It begins with you alone taking risks, making decisions, walking a path that is sure to be filled with ups and downs. But building a soulful business also requires the support of the right people who not only get what you're doing, but also love it. You may come to the point where you realize you need and want this, but money is scarce, so you become a do-it-yourselfer, right? I mean, that's the case for me. The positive part of this approach is that it builds strength, because you have to learn how to lead yourself, which usually includes learning a ton of new skills, plus how to manage your own time and energy. But this can also be the most challenging part of being a solo business owner, because you can end up spending hours and hours alone, mostly on the computer, getting things done. Many of those things don't directly bring you cash, and yet you feel it's necessary to spend hours at your screen while becoming more isolated. I began just this way and experienced both the pluses and the minuses. What I've learned in this process is your business needs real-life people. Your entrepreneurial house needs to have a community built right into the foundation. This is not something to add in later. It's easy to add closets, new tiles, or other remodeling to any house, but it's virtually impossible to change the foundation. The foundation is a blueprint. Community, tribe, or people, or whatever you call them, they're essential to any business, so they need to be part of the innermost circle of your root system and live in the foundation of your house. So, you know, I'm just going to say one more thing here. I've written, I see too many people who come to me for help after a few years of struggling to get their vision business off the ground. Many have isolated themselves, doing things like creating workshop outlines, writing ebooks, interacting on Facebook, all while alone in their little home office. And when I suggest to them that they need to get out in front of real people, many people groan because connecting with their circle wasn't built into their house foundation, So there's no room in their schedule for it. They say they don't have time. They haven't built that half of the house yet, but there's always still time to add it in. So I go on with that, but I'm just mentioning that here because there is some, you know, we're here virtually, and I've done the best I could to try to make this virtual group inclusive so you feel that feeling of being together with real people. You know, some of you on the chat have mentioned before that you really felt that, and I so appreciate it. And those of you in the Facebook group that have said, oh, my God, it's amazing, you know, how doing the visualization, it feels like we're with 300 women all over the world, and it's true. I mean, there are women here from so many different countries, and you know, as well as different parts of the United States, and we need each other. So it's been great being here with you all this week, and one of the bonuses that I've offered on, when you get to my sales page and look at it, again, that's wiserandwilder.com, is a really lovely way to get some help, you know, without spending a lot of money. And I'd love for you to look at that. It's called Wild Wisdom Sparks, and it's just a little program I put together where you can get some really quality help, helping you to be more empowered, which is what I do. I mean, people sometimes ask me, well, what is it that you actually do, you know, in terms of, you know, are you a business coach or what? Well, you know, I consider myself a mentor in that way, but it's really about women's empowerment because it's helping women to step in their truth, what they need to do in order to put those pieces together to make it work. And, you know, many of my clients are creative people, healers, you know, all different kinds of things, and are very attached to, I want to just do this. I want to just do my artwork, or I want to do my healing. And I've talked about this in previous calls this week, is that, you know, in order to bring those together, so like Nancy says, you know, she said, I've made a decision that I never wanted to do anything that doesn't have meaning to me. I love that statement, Nancy. It's so true. And I know a lot of you on this call feel the same way, that you don't want to do anything if it's not aligned with your truth, if it doesn't have meaning. And so what happens is starting your own business gives you that opportunity. But very quickly, you can lose it, right, in busyness and trying to, like, do things, right? And so what I try to help my clients do is how to pull those together. You can actually be a healer, you can be an artist, and have that meaning, and you can still have a business that works. Because so many people spend hours and hours doing stuff that doesn't work, whether it's marketing or whatever, right? Yeah, and it's like if you know the steps, it cuts it way down, right? It's really true. So, you know, any of you that want help, contact me. I'd love to talk with you. And I said this yesterday, I think, as well, is that I not only am I going to be doing this retreat at the Oregon coast in October, which is going to be amazing, being on the real beach, being able to find your real talking stick, working on your business, visionary business, together with other women, sort of going to be a mastermind group part of it where you can get help from each other and really look at what your visions and intentions are and how to bring them forward, you know, through creative, ritualistic ways, which are beautiful, right? If anybody's interested in that, let me know. I don't even have the web page up yet, but I'm going to do a mini piece of that on a one-day workshop on June 10th here in Portland. So if you want to come to Portland, this is the day to come. This is the time to come. So let me know about that, too. The web page will be going up for that soon, and I'll let you all know. You've been amazing to work with, and I'd love to bring both Sonia and Nancy back for a second. I'm going to ask you both if you have any just little gem, one piece of advice that you want to leave everybody with today, and just what comes to you, so don't give it a huge amount of thought. Which one of you has something you can just go for it and speak first?
I'll go. you know, it really, there's no accident. I just want to just kind of highlight what you read about and what you've been, you know, what you're all about and what you're doing with your book and how powerful it comes through in your book, Kaya, because I've been reading it, and that is, you know, community with women, plugging into women, however we can do it. And for me, the way I would distinguish it is, it's the difference between walking towards your dream or flying towards your dream. A lot of us have learned how to do things by ourselves out of necessity. I was certainly one of those people. I isolated myself too. But when I came back to my roots, which is being a woman among women, everything just soars. The magic and the miracles happen. So even if it's virtual, because you've got little kids,
that's
connecting
right.
with community is essential.
Yes, exactly right. That's why I made a whole chapter of that in my book.
It's beautiful in your book, yes.
Yeah. Nancy, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I would just like to add that it's important to remember our inner community also, all the parts of ourselves as women, and including the inner child and all the parts of us. That's part of where we get our power from, and it's one of our gifts as women to be relational beings, and it's real important not to forget that deep relationship with self as well. And being in a woman's, being with women, it goes back and forth, right? They empower one another. But I am just thinking of the community inside us.
Absolutely. That's perfect, 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 Nancy. And in my, I have a little, you know, relationship circle that is in my book. It's a little doodle I drew, and there's three layers to it, and the middle layer is what you've just talked about, Nancy. It's called soul partner. That's what I have in the middle of the circle, which is exactly, your soul partner is your wise woman inside,
uh-huh.
which is exactly what you're talking about. It has to start with that place.
Yeah.
And you have to be in touch with her. And
yeah.
I, just like you said, Nancy, she's the one that knows what you need to do and who you need to be, and it will help you make decisions. Once you connect with that part of yourself, it makes, you know, that word ease that I wrote on my rock, that's, it becomes easy, you know? So we don't have to think, and we don't have to try to be like somebody else, which we've talked about this week. Let go of trying to fit in. Be yourself. Be with your soul partner. And as Sonia shared, find your women's community. So those are really great words to end with here in the circle. And I will see you all still on the Facebook group. So it's still happening. I'm going to be sharing my painting as I grow it. There'll be many ways for you to give comments or, you know, share. And I love your stories. You know, we've heard all the people's stories, and your story needs to come out as well. And the Facebook group is a beautiful place for that. So step in and go for it and tell your story. And again, anybody that wants to chat with me, just let me know. Just press reply to any of the emails that I've given you, and we can set up a time to talk. I'm very happy to do that with anybody. So thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Sonia, for being here. And thank you for all you beautiful women from all over the world that have joined us today and for the other 5 days. This has been just an amazing, amazing experience. You've helped me to bring my vision and manifest it. Honestly, I just feel heartfelt and teary just realizing that. It's so beautiful. What can I say? That's the best way to end. So we're not ending except for this call right now. We'll see you on the Facebook group, and we'll carry on. So
thank you, Kaya.
Thank you. Much love to you all, and I'll see you on the Facebook group. And I can't wait for you to see the painting, and I can't wait for me to see it. All righty. Bye-bye, everybody.